We're continuing our series this morning entitled Divided We Fall. And last week we looked at Solomon's divided heart and witnessed his fall from wisdom as being the wisest leader on the planet to worshiping false gods. Just real quickly a recap for those of you that might not have seen the message. You can get all our messages on our YouTube channel at RLC SAC TV. But if you didn't get a chance to see it, let me just catch you up real quick. Number one, we were looking at 1 Kings chapter 10 and 11. And there's some things that we observed last week that helped us figure out how could Solomon fall from being the wisest king on the earth to chapter 11, worshiping false gods. The first thing that we observed is that he wandered from the word of God. He wandered from the word of God. We learned last week that in Deuteronomy 17, God had laid out the laws of leadership for successful kingship and the guidelines. How many know we as believers, we need guidelines? Come on, we need to be guided by God's morality and we need to be guided by God's sovereignty, right? If we live our lives between God's morality and God's sovereignty, how many know we will find God's will right in the middle of those things? And so God had graciously written these out in Deuteronomy chapter 7, laws of leadership to King Solomon and directly addressing certain things like don't have too many horses, which was a sign of military might because, listen, you're going to put your trust in horses and chariots instead of the Lord your God. He said things like, listen, don't have a large harem because in turn they're going to turn your heart away from God. Listen, don't get prideful with all your wealth and riches because, listen, kings, I am your ultimate resource. He wandered from the word of God. Secondly, he ignored the wisdom of God. We talked about this, the lust of the flesh, right? Come on, we call it the arm of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life lured his heart away to worship false God. He compromised his love for God. Come on, Solomon had a big harem. Come on, he had a lot of ladies on pocket dial. 700 wives and 300 concubines. How many know that is not wise? Right? But it said this. It said that Solomon clung to these in love. How do you know that love was really lust? And his heart, we talked about this, right? His heart became glued to things that the Lord never meant our hearts to be attached to. He compromised his love for God. And then his relationships with these 1,000 women, listen, turned his heart from God. Turned his heart from God. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company, come on, corrupts good character. Another version says it this way, bad company ruins good morals. And then lastly, he started worshiping false gods. I said to you last week, Solomon's excess or what appeared to be worldly success. Remember, 1 Kings 10, Solomon, Queen of Sheba comes and she's just blown away by all the excellence. And listen, I've heard a bunch of messages about excellence, and they've used, listen, 1 Kings chapter 10 as their word. But listen, if you take that in context, listen, it's a warning to leaders, not an affirmation to leaders. God is saying, listen, be careful. Don't do what Solomon did. Solomon's excess opened his heart to ungodly access. And this morning, I want to talk to you as we continue this series, Divided We Fall, I want to talk to you about a message I've entitled Deeper Divide. A Deeper Divide. We're just going to look at four more verses, 1 Kings 11, 5 through 8. I rushed through these last week, and so I'm going to take my time going through them this week. It says, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Verse 6, so Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place. Underline that or highlight that on your YouVersion apps. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. Verse 8, and so he did this for all. Everybody say all. He did this for all 1,000 of his wives, y'all. Listen, he exchanged the worship of the only one and true God to build high places, places of worship for 1,000 false gods. What a fall. Psalm 139, 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. On your way in, you received a handout. We're going to be going over this inventory at the end. This is not going to be a normal service. How many, I told you this is going to be the church unusual from now on. We're going to take some time at the end just to probe our hearts. So if you didn't get one of these, you can also download, you can also get the link at the YouVersion app. It's in the notes there. So if you can find it there, if not, pull this out, look to your neighbors, or maybe an usher can get one to you if you don't have one. But we're going to do that at the end of the service. Have you ever asked yourself, how did I get here? All right, thank you for being honest. Anybody, have you ever ended up in that place where you just said, how in the world did I get in this place? Like, God, like what happened? Like things were going so well. How did I end up in this place? This is that moment for King Solomon. And we pick up where we left off last week, and Solomon starts to settle for something less than divine. Again, we look at verse 6. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. It leads me to my first point. If you're taking notes, if your heart is not following God wholly, you are ignoring God intentionally. Listen, have you ever been given advice you ignored, but in hindsight, you wished you would have listened? Gosh, man, where are the hands? All by myself. All right. Yes. Come on, babe. Me and you. When Amy and I were first married, we lived in Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, right? The land of the vineyards, milk and honey and wine, right? And when we first got married, my father-in-law, her dad, said that he wanted to buy us a home. And back then, the homes in Santa Rosa, catch this, this is before the housing boom, $129,000 for a three-bedroom, two-bath home. I was young and clueless, and the particular ministry situation we were in made you feel like you could be uprooting any moment to go and do something bigger and better for God. So listen, don't settle down right here. Don't plant, don't dare, don't you dare get planted, because God might have something bigger for you. And so I told my father-in-law, you know, I don't think that's what God is calling us to do right now. And so I always looked at Santa Rosa, even though I lived there for 10 years, as a temporary stepping stone. Now, when we actually did move from Santa Rosa, we were still renting. And that same home that cost $129,000 when we moved was almost $300,000. Now, how many know if I wouldn't have ignored my father-in-law's advice, it would have literally changed the trajectory of our life a lot sooner than it did. That was in the early 90s. We didn't buy our first home till 2003. I didn't take his offer to heart, and I lost out on a rare opportunity. How many know when your in-laws offer you something like that, you need to jump on it? If you are newly married in this place, I just sense the Holy Spirit telling you to say yes in Jesus' name. Just say yes. Just say yes. You see, if you're always looking for a bigger and better thing, catch this, you may miss the right thing. This is what happened to Solomon, y'all. Though he had wisdom, because he didn't listen to his heart, to his father, he was lured by other things that caused him to worship the wrong thing. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, this is King David. He has all his leaders before him, and he addresses his son, and he says, "Son, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart." Everybody say whole heart. "And with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." You see, not listening and ignoring wise advice is an indicator that the unchecked motives of your heart may be misleading you. Let me say that again. Not listening and ignoring wise advice is an indicator that your unchecked motives of the heart may be misleading you. Proverbs 1 and 8, again, here Solomon writes all these things to us. Why? Because he learned a valuable lesson. He didn't listen. Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Proverbs 4:1, "Hear my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." Proverbs 5:1-3, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey and her mouth is smoother than oil." Proverbs 7:24-25, "Now therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths." Proverbs 8:32-34, "Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it." Come on, this is from a king who learned the hard way. You see, if my heart is not paying attention to the voice of the Spirit, if my heart is not paying attention to the Word of God, if my heart is not paying attention to the wisdom of God, if my heart is not paying attention to the people of God who are speaking into my life, I'm opening the door of my heart to be attracted to something less than God. See, Solomon, on the surface, he had everything. Come on, he had power. Come on, he had all the sex he wanted. He had money, gold, silver as common as stones, the Bible says. You see, on the surface level, King Solomon was powerful. King Solomon appeared, come on, to be in relationship and good friends with many nations. Listen, the wealthiest king of his day, so much so, kings and queens from other nations were paying him with spices and camels to be a part of his master class. That's a joke. Master class. There you go. But below the surface, in the depths of his heart, something was off. Something wasn't right. And the once wise king allowed idols to win his heart. Verse 7, "Then Solomon built a high place. Chemosh, Molech." He built a high place. Leads me to my second point. The hidden places of your heart are often revealed by the high places of your worship. Can I just tell you something? As your pastor, your heart is a terrible hiding place because it's wired to put what you're worshiping on display. Matthew 5:27-28, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery." This is Jesus talking, right? He said, y'all are worried about the actions. You're worried about the rules. But I'm telling you, it goes beyond your actions. Let's go. Let's talk about the attitudes of your heart. He says, you should not commit adultery. Yeah, he said, that's the ultimate. But we're not living by the letter of the law. We're living by the letter of the Spirit. He says, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So Jesus takes it up another level, y'all. He takes it up another level. He said, listen, y'all are so focused on the rules, you have forgot about relationship. You forgot about my Holy Spirit. So many people saying, well, the Bible doesn't directly address this. How about the Holy Spirit? Come on, how about our helper and the one who will guide us into all truth? Listen, 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 we've got to take, listen, the Word of God is divinely inspired. Anything less, it is the final authority. Anything less than that, and guess what? We have no truth, right? We have sound doctrine, and we have false doctrine. Hello? We have good theology and we have bad theology. Listen, and anything, listen, that discounts this as less than divinely inspired, I will just tell you, this is, listen, the foundation, which I'm going to be talking about on Tuesday. This is the foundation because people say, well, you just need a biblical worldview and you just need a Christian worldview. Well, you know what? It takes time to lay that foundation in people's lives. Listen, in a world where Christians don't even pick up this book, you're saying you just need a Christian worldview? Well, which one? Which Christian worldview do you want? The one where Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or do you want the Word of God where Jesus was just a good teacher? And so listen. Listen, I'm not trying to, listen, what I'm trying to say, listen, is we've got people from all walks of life coming to church, hallelujah. But we're not willing to walk with folks, because here was the prophecy over this church earlier this year. Real life is coming to real life. Real people with real problems are coming to real life who need real answers. Listen. If they had the answers, they wouldn't be coming. And we got people with marriage problems. We got people with drug problems, kids problems, 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 problems. How many know we have the solutions? And we've got to, listen, we've got to be people of solution instead of people always pointing out problems. That's not in my notes. That was free. All right. For where your treasure is, Jesus said. Matthew 6:20, there your heart is also. Many times just looking at our bank statement can reveal those things. Can reveal the things that we've elevated. Come on, above everything else. If you look at our bank statement, you're going to say, man, Pastor Dean and Amy love to eat out. Come on, our bank statement is out of balance sometimes. I'm just going to be honest. But listen, how many times you got to go down your bank statement to see your priority with God? You see, Matthew 12:35, he said, for the mouth simply shapes the heart's impulses into words. How many know sometimes you could just talk to folks? And learn where they're at in their relationship with Jesus. Why? Because the attitudes of our heart that go unchecked will ultimately display your worship. The heart is a horrible hiding place. And that's why, listen, I am committed as your pastor to let's not play church anymore. Can this really be a place, a transformation center? With people with all kinds of junk, all kinds of wrong philosophy, all kinds of stuff can come and lay it down, listen, and get Jesus without being judged. Come on, without being condemned, without a conversation. Hey, you want to preach? Come on up. Come on. I love it. Hey, I'll take all the affirmation I can get. I'm just going to sit here just for a minute. No, I'm just kidding. Man, these unchecked motives, these unchecked attitudes and appetites, ungodly appetites. Has anybody besides me ever had the thought of going to Chick-fil-A? I know you're hungry right now, but right. Man, you had that thought. Come on, you had that thought. Spicy chicken. Come on, waffle fries. Come on, how many of you know Chick-fil-A got the best milkshakes? You eat all that stuff and then you get a diet lemonade. Come on now. Man, you had that thought just come. You just say, Chick-fil-A. And there you go to Chick-fil-A. Anybody been like me? You're on your way to Chick-fil-A. You pull in the drive-thru and you realize it's Sunday. I just tell you, when I do, I've done that before. How do you know? I'm convicted. My appetite has led me astray. But one of the things that I've got to admire about that it reminds me of two thoughts. Chick-fil-A don't give a flip about your desire for instant gratification. The other thing is it also points me to the God that the founder, Truett Cathy, has on display for the entire world to see. Despite being closed 52 days a year, which some experts say it costs Chick-fil-A $100 million in revenue, it continues to blow out places like McDonald's, Taco Bell, and Burger. Who goes to Burger King anyway? But listen, it continues to blow those things out of the water. Truett Cathy believed that being closed on Sunday would say two important things. Have you know worship is just not what we do here on Sunday mornings? He said, I will worship in my business. I will keep the Lord number one. I will put my work and my worship on display for the world to see, and I will remind them of two things. These are the two things you can find about Truett Cathy. One, that there must be something special about the way Chick-fil-A, come on, views their priority with Jesus Christ. And secondly, there must be something special about how Chick-fil-A feels about people. Wow. A love for God and a love for people. That sounds familiar to me. Sounds like the great commandment to me. You see, Cathy believed that by giving employees Sunday off as a day for family worship, fellowship, or rest, the company would attract quality people. Your heart, listen, is wired to express and put what you worship on display for the entire world to see. Now here's King Solomon. Listen, this is the same king who built the house of God, the place where heaven and earth would intersect. It was the same place, the same king who would then spend his energy and influence building high places to chase gods who could never satisfy. What are high places? Israel had adopted a pagan custom of offering sacrifices on elevated high tops, thinking that they could get closer to God. And the closer they could get to God on a mountain, they would feel like the better chance that their prayers would be answered. And they believed the closer they were to heaven, the greater chance of their sacrifices would reach their God, small g. Can I just tell you something real life? If you've given space in your heart for other things, those things will eventually take God's place and become a high place in your life. The things that you've elevated above Jesus in your life, to be point blank. It leads me to my third point as the worship team comes. And we're just going to do some heart surgery today. Is that all right? I've got time. Hallelujah. I like having one service. I could just take all day. But anyway. It leads me to my third point. If God doesn't occupy your whole heart an idol will seek to fill the vacancy. Verse 8, talking about Solomon. We just, in Scripture, we just witnessed him hit building just three. He had 997 more to build because he said he did it for all his wives. It says, verse 8, and so he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrifice to other gods. In other words, it consumed him. Listen, what just started out as a simple date night, come on, ended up stealing his heart away 1,000 times over. And listen, many of us, listen, we're wondering how we got here. And God says, it's that attitude in your heart. It consumed him. And I want to ask you this morning, what's consuming you? You say, come on, Pastor Dean. I'm not building any places of false worship or bowing down to some golden statue. Do any of you got one of these in your bedroom? Can you put that picture of the gold? Anybody got one of those in their bedroom? Because this is what we think of when we think of idols. I'm good. I don't got no golden calves in my life. I'm not worshiping any strange thing hanging up on my wall or bowing down. But can we just go deeper? An idol is anything more important to you than God. It's anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. And it's anything you seek to give you only what God can give. That's from Timothy Keller's book, Counterfeit Gods. I highly recommend it. Exodus 20, verses 3 and 4. We know this, right? This is the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Listen to this. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Anybody ever been jealous before? Dang, I'm the only one in here. I'm going to do some business with God today. Dude, when I first met Amy, everybody liked Amy. She was a freshman. Nobody knew her because she went to a private school and came to our high school, and everybody was like, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? And I was like, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. But everybody liked her. Everybody, people asking her out all the time, and I had this, like, secret love affair going on. I was like, I'm going to marry that girl. Man, I remember, like, telling one of my friends, you know, in high school, you do everything bad. I remember telling one of my friends, hey, man, go tell her that I like her. Go tell her I like her, you know what I'm saying? She going to the dance tonight. Go ask her. Tell her I'll ask her to dance tonight. Yeah. Get the hook up. Yeah, right. I didn't have much game in high school, so I had to work through my friends who did, all right. But I remember other dudes talking to her, and I'd be like, what's up? Talking to my girl. She wasn't even my girl yet. What you doing, Tim? Well, Tim, I'll take. Oh, come on, James, I'm about to take your head off right now. I was jealous. I so wanted a relationship with her. Anything that was going to interfere with that. Listen, I was going to destroy. Now, that's an ungodly jealousy, by the way. But listen, in the same way, there are things competing for the attention and the attraction of your heart. And God says, I'm a jealous God. Oh, no, no, no. Not the golden calf. Oh, no, 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 not the relationship. Oh, no, 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 not the career. Oh, no, 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 not the job. He said, no, I'm a jealous guy. I want all of you. I want you to follow me with a whole heart. Jesus summed it up like this. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In other words, Jesus was saying, don't leave room for anything else for your heart to get occupied with. You see, a counterfeit God is anything so central and essential to your life that should you lose it, your life would feel hardly worth living. I feel like I'm supposed to go there, so I am. Two Monday nights ago, watching the Green Bay Packer game. Turned around because I thought Josiah was done playing. Turned around, zoomed in, laying on his back. Had to wait 90 minutes to find out season is done and over with. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Do you trust me with his life? Because daddy couldn't fix it, y'all. Daddy couldn't run out there on the field and say, 'Son, are you okay?' Dad had to trust God." Got that call 90 minutes later. He said, "I'm good." By the way, just a testimony, Josiah's already doing air squats. He doesn't even have the surgery yet. He's already doing air squats. The kid's crazy, I think half crazy, but anyway. He gets his surgery this Thursday by the doctor who just did Dak Prescott's ankle last week. The best doctor in the nation is going to be working on his knee. How many know that's favor? Come on. But I'm still praying for a miracle. I've heard of doctors going in and things are being just great. So that's what I'm praying for. So continue praying, all right? An idol has such a controlling position. And are you guys okay? If you have to leave, I'll give you permission. But I'm just saying we're going to the surgery room in just a few minutes, all right? An idol has such a controlling position in your heart that you can spend most of your passion and energy, your emotional and financial resources on it without a second thought. It can be family and children or career and making money or achievement and critical acclaim or saving face and social standing. How many followers you got on social media, big whoopee woo. It can be a romantic relationship, peer approval, competence and skill, secure and comfortable circumstances, your beauty, your brains, a great political or social cause, your morality and virtue, or even success in the Christian ministry. And yes, I've been there too. On your way in, you got a handout. Again, you can get the link on the YouVersion app. We'll make it available. All kinds of different idols. Can I just name a few? I can't go through all the descriptions. I'll put it up, go over them all later. But they're theological idols, sexual idols, magic and ritual idols, political, economic idols, racial, national idols, relational idols, religious idols, philosophical idols, cultural idols. And everybody say, deep idols. This is what I want to focus on. Everybody say, deep divide. Because I believe one of the deepest divides, listen, in America right now are our motivational drives and temperaments made into absolutes that aren't absolutes. And here it is. It's on the screen, but it's the top four on your sheet as well. You can go through all of these. I'm not going to take time, but I'm going to ask, can we get some worship? Do we have some worship? Because I want to just take a moment. Can I take a moment? To really search our hearts, not to just say amen, hallelujah, so be it, let's get out, I'm unchanged in the name of Jesus. But today you would give permission for the Holy Spirit, listen, to dive deep in your heart, which he said he would do if you just said, yes, Holy Spirit, have your way. Search my heart, search my mind, search my motives. And that's what I want to take time today. On your sheet, and I'm just going to go over this really quick. Can you put that back up, please? The chart, yes. There are deep idols. Everybody say deep idols. These are buried deep down in our heart. And I just want to give you some examples. These are the top four motivational idols that we set up in our hearts. The number one being comfort. Why it goes unrecognized and how it looks. The idol of comfort looks like it's laid back and easygoing. The price we'll pay, a lack of productivity. The worst nightmare, stress and demands, stresses those that have the comfort idol. The biggest problem, the biggest emotional problem is boredom. When you, comfort is your idol, others feel hurt and neglected around you. But the gospel reality that it counterfeits, listen, is the peace of Christ. Listen, that wants to dwell in your heart. Let's look at these. Approval. Why it goes unrecognized, because you always want to be likable and friendly. The price you'll pay, less independence. Your worst nightmare is rejection. Your biggest emotional problem is cowardice. Others feel smothered. And the gospel reality that it comforts is God's perfect love and acceptance for your life. The idol of control. Why it goes unrecognized? Because you have an answer for everything. Somebody laughed. Hallelujah. Right? The price we'll pay, loneliness and spontaneity. The worst nightmare, uncertainty. This pandemic has been a nightmare for you. The biggest emotional problem is anxiety that it brings. And people that are around you, because you have this idol of control in your life, they feel condemned, judged, and offended. But the gospel reality that it counterfeits is God's blessing. Listen, God wants to be a blessing through you and to others in your life. And then lastly, again, there's a long list. You see it here. Why the idol of power goes unrecognized? Because it comes across as confident. The price we'll pay is burdened responsibility. Your worst nightmare is humiliation. God, don't humiliate me. The biggest problem, emotion, is anger. How do you know anger is fake power? When you have an idol of power in your life, others feel used, manipulated, and handled. And the gospel reality that it counterfeits is God's righteousness. Can we just do business for just a moment? I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon just to sing a chorus. But at the bottom of this sheet, and I don't know if we have this on there, it says, name your idols out loud. There's a whole bunch of them. You could take this home. But it says, name your idols out aloud. And so maybe you have the idol of approval, the idol of power, the idol of comfort. There's a lot more here listed on this list. But can we just take a moment to name those out loud? Then confess your heart's dependence on your idols to God and surrender those. Lay those down today. Repent. In other words, change your mind. Turn away from the idols in your life. And then listen, today we're going to take a moment to rejoice at the end of this service. And then lastly, replace your idols with a renewed passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we just take a moment to allow the Lord to go into the deep divide of our heart and just say, God, will you search me? God, know me. Come on, let's do business with God.